And on the line now, I have Alison Gilliland, Labour councillor. Good afternoon, Alison.
Good afternoon, John. How are you?
I'm good, and you?
Not too bad. It's cold out, but good
it is.
Day.
It's very cold. You're kept busy now because you're also on the housing executive. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm chair of Dublin City Council's housing policy committee. So we meet monthly. And I suppose we discuss key issues of house delivery, building houses, all the Dublin City Council projects, how we can better house our senior citizens, travellers, those with disabilities, and a variety of other matters pertaining to the area of housing.
Now, we're going to talk about a press release I got from you, the Rebuilding Ireland Home Loan Scheme. And there's a rate rise. Before we get into it, just explain to the listeners what this Rebuilding Ireland Home Loan Scheme is and how it works.
Yeah, about, I'd say it was 18 months ago, maybe 2 years, the Minister for Housing, O'Murphy, Fine Gael, introduced, I suppose, an affordability measure to allow ordinary families take out a loan through their local authority that would have lower interest rates, they're fixed,
yeah,
and as well allow them get on the housing ladder. So it's called the Rebuilding Ireland Home Loan Scheme. So they would apply to the local authority the same way you would apply to a bank. You have to bring in all your financial details and show that your ability to pay, etc. And then it would be processed by the council and you would get the loan either over a 25-year period or a 30-year period. And I suppose the big advantage of it was that the loan rate was quite low. It was 2% if you were taking it over 25 years, and that's fixed, so it wouldn't change, or 2.5% if it was over a 30-year loan.
Okay. And what's the latest on it?
The latest on it is that on Monday the 14th of January, so just about 2 weeks ago, all local authorities were notified of a rate change. And it's quite a significant rate change, even though it doesn't sound it. It's 0.745% of an increase. But the horrible thing was that it was to take effect immediately. So the next day, anyone who had a loan application in the system, and this has happened to quite a few people who have contacted me, they had to start all over again, reapply, and these new loan rates were to be applied to them. So a young woman got in contact with me. She's actually a young teacher, and her application was in the process of going through, I suppose, conversations with Dublin City Council. She only had one piece of paper. It was her prize bond statement was the only thing that she had to submit, and she had contacted the council and made an appointment with them to come in on the 15th to get everything signed off. So as you can imagine, she was devastated.
Yeah.
Because what this meant for her was that she was taken out, I think she was allowed 193,000. And over the course of 25 years, that was 52,000 in interest. With this new rate, she was going to have to pay 73,000 in interest. So that's an additional
73,000.
Exactly, yes, in interest. For her, it was a whole year's salary extra. But the other implication of the rate increase was that it actually reduced her borrowing ability. So she could no longer afford a house or an apartment at 193,000. They were only offering her 184,000. So that's 9,000 of a difference. And you know yourself, when you're going out there into the open market to buy a house or apartment or trying to put a roof over your head, that is a huge amount of money in the difference. So the fact that, I suppose, the minister, and I am implicating Minister Pascal O'Donoghue here as well, because like he's the man who holds the purse strings, that has meant that families who had, I suppose, light at the end of the tunnel, that they could get this loan, that it's fixed term, they knew exactly what their repayments would be over the 25 or the 30 years, were now left in a situation where they had to start all over again with a reduced ability to buy and also higher repayments. And I just think it was appalling. It was really sneaky, particularly the fact that it gave absolutely no notice to allow people who were in the process of these discussions with the council to finish them up and get the paperwork in and get it seen through.
And the sad thing is that this the Rebuilding Ireland Home Loan Scheme, it was actually a good idea and it was working well.
So it was working really, really well. But the ironic thing is that the increase is an increase in the contribution to the Mortgage Arrears Resolution Fund. So this is a fund that the councils would use, I suppose, in the circumstances whereby somebody perhaps defaulted on their loan. So say, for example, if somebody lost their job, and obviously they have a job that might have an income of 45,000 a year, and they go on a job seeker's allowance, they wouldn't have that. So they would get into difficulty repaying their loans. So that would allow the council to take money from this fund. But as we both know, John, unemployment is increasing. We're not in the same dire straits we were a decade ago when people were actually losing their jobs and getting into mortgage difficulties. This scheme is working, and I've asked the minister to explain why he is now bumping up this particular fund when there doesn't seem to be a rationale for it. I have not heard of a massive increase in people defaulting on these loans to I suppose, give a reason that the interest rate or the rate to this fund should be increased. It's absolutely ridiculous.
And have you got any explanation from the minister? Have you heard anything back?
No. And I've even contacted the official in the Department of Housing Planning and Local Government that issued the circular, and I've got nothing there either. And I don't think, honestly, they can justify it, because I can't see how it could be justified. It's, to me, it's just putting money into a fund for a rainy day that might never come. But if it's anything like the young teacher that contacted me, they're going to get an additional 20,000 perhaps on every single application they get. And that's an awful lot of money.
It's beggar's belief sometimes the things that happen. They come up with a good plan, a good initiative, which is working
and
well.
Absolutely, because I remember it was this time last year I had a couple contact me because they had been told that the loan, the money allocated to this scheme was going to dry up because it was so successful. And we managed, through myself and my Labour colleague Jan O'Sullivan, our spokesperson for housing, managed to put enough pressure on the minister to actually ensure that the fund was there, that enough money was there for the people who wanted to avail of it. But I suppose now we're in a little bit of a limbo because everybody's out on the election hustings. The minister is concentrating, I suppose, on regaining his seat. And families and applicants are just left in limbo, wondering if the next government that comes in, it'll be one of the first things I do once the next government is formed, is to contact the housing person there to ask that this be absolutely scrapped or to give me a rationale as to why we should be doing this, because I can't see one.
No, it's a terrible situation for people to find themselves in. You know, they get their hopes up and then this happens. Can we move on a bit, Alison, and we'll talk about some local things that are happening. The Bunratty housing scheme there, they've started work on that. What is that going to consist of? People are saying, is it going to be apartments or what?
That is going to be 68 units. The majority of them are going to be apartments, and they're rapid build. So I suppose heretofore, up until a couple of weeks ago, there would have been sort of doing the foundations. But they're going to start now, I suppose, putting the pieces of the jigsaw together. The walls and the floors and the structure is made in a factory, and it's going to be transported to the site. Now, it will mean some inconvenience on the Oscar Traynor Road because they have to offload it from the road onto the site. But the idea of doing it this way is that it speeds up construction. And we would hope now, come the summer, that you would see a really good development there. And it's actually the first one that is an apartment rapid build development, as opposed to, you might remember, the houses we built in Belcamp, which are your typical terraced and semi-D houses there. This is going to be the first rapid build apartment development.
And when you say apartment, is it going to be multi-storey apartments or is it going to
be? Yeah, it is. If my memory serves me correctly, it's 4 stories, if not 5 stories there. And it'll be looking out onto the Oscar Traynor Road. It'll mirror a little the one that's just further on down towards Cadbury's. We'll have a line of apartment development up the Oscar Traynor Road there.
Okay. And
but it's great because it means, you know, there'll be 68 families allocated housing there. I know some of them will come from the families who are vacating Crumcastle Court to allow for the regeneration on that site. So hopefully it'll alleviate some people's housing situation in the near future.
Yeah. Now, I'm glad you mentioned the Crumcastle Court thing there, because people have to be rehoused out of that, because I believe it's going to be demolished, the whole thing. Is that correct?
Yeah, at the moment we're in design process for that. There was a local consultation just before Christmas in the Kilmore Community Centre there. We had a lot of officials there, we had the architect there to hear people's views as to what they want. There was also an online consultation as well. So that will be done in phases. So, for example, 2 or 3 of the blocks will be demolished after they've been all de-tenanted. They'll be built up. They're going higher and they'll be denser. They'll probably use that site a lot better than it is at the moment. And then we'll be able to allocate the people who are remaining in the older blocks in Crumcastle into those new ones if they want. And we'll do it in that phased approach. And then we also have a plan for that green space that used to be the underpass into Northside Shopping Centre.
Yeah.
It's a very ugly space at the moment, gets an awful lot of dumping on it, and people during Halloween put bonfires on it. We're looking at doing an affordable rental development there, ideally with some senior citizens as well, because it is so close to the primary care centre and to Northside Shopping Centre that it's ideal for older people that might have mobility issues. They've got everything within a comfortable reach. So that's being discussed and planned at the moment as well.
Okay. So what else is happening? What about the Lawrence Lands up there near yourself?
Yeah, that's just up the top of the Oscar Traynor Road. We are in the final stages of that. The final tender went out just before Christmas, and the deadline for submission is mid-February. And there's only 2 developers or 2 companies left in that consultation process. You'll remember that we put out a generic expression of interest, and we got 7 or 8 companies submitted on that. Dublin City Council sat down with all of them, looked at their ideas, questioned their finance, and then they drew up another tender that would allow a more detailed submission. Again, they reviewed that, and this final tender basically pulls together the best of all the ideas presented. And 2 people or 2 companies are tendering for that. So once that comes in February, the council will then sit down and go through each of the 2 submissions with a fine-tooth comb and come to, I suppose, a decision as to which one of them will be the successful tender. That will then be presented to the local area committee and to the main council chamber.
Okay, well, as we said, there's an awful lot of homeless people out there, and they'll be delighted to hear that something is happening, because
yeah, it is. But I'm also concerned or conscious that there's also concerns, because we in our development plan fought very hard to get a maximum height of 6 stories on those lands, because you know yourself, as you drive up Oscar Traynor Road towards Santry, it actually goes, inclines up, so 6 stories would actually look quite high. They had wanted 10, but we agreed on 6, and that was in consensus with the local community as well. However, with Minister Murphy's urban forum and height guidelines, any height goes. And I know from the consultations we've had with local residents, they do not want to see 10, 11, 12 stories on that land. It's a very constrained area. Traffic and how traffic is going to be managed is going to be a huge issue. And they're the two things we'll be looking out for in the tender, or the successful tender that is selected.
Yeah, and that height restriction was overruled. Is that... I suppose that all depends on the next government, if that can be put back.
It absolutely. And I suppose there's always opportunities for new governments to right the wrongs of past governments. And I know from being up with the residents of Santry and Whitehall discussing the proposed rezoning of the industrial sites up there, that is a huge concern for them, that we can't, as local councillors, give a guarantee that if that area was to be rezoned for residential, that you would only have 5-6 stories on it. And to be honest with you, when you can't give those guarantees, it's my view that we press the pause button and reconsider at a time where we can actually have the integrity of our development plan respected by national legislation.
Okay, Alison, it's always very interesting talk, Jim. We always go on a bit, but is there anything you'd like to add before we go?
No, I just would like to say to everybody, we know we're in a general election. Yep. Obviously, I want everybody to vote for the Labour Party, but I'd also like people to be informed about the policies and what you're voting for, as opposed to the person you're voting for, particularly in the area of housing. I know Labour wants rent freeze. We want to build public housing on public lands. We want to invest in public services in the local area and really get, I suppose, money and facilities back down to the people on the ground. So get out and vote on the 8th of February.
Yeah. Okay, Alison, listen, thanks very much for taking the call.
Thanks very much, John.
No doubt we'll be talking again shortly.
Indeed. Right. Take care.
Thank you, Alison.
Bye.
Yes, that's Labour Councillor Alison Gilliland there.